Welcome to the Australia Sews podcast. This podcast celebrates the Australian home sewing community and shares stories from everyday sewers transforming their lives and their wardrobes. My name is Louise Sherry. My guest today is Simon Turner, also known as Made by Silver Fox on Instagram. Simon took up sewing in his 50s after getting a sewing machine as a Christmas present in 2019. Simon knew virtually nothing about sewing or how sewing patterns worked, but over time, he's learned a thing or two, and today Simon loves sewing dresses for his wife Lizzie and lots of bright collared shirts for himself. I don't bump into many male sewists in the sewing community, so it was great to chat to Simon about how much he enjoys this hobby. And I'm sure his wife Lizzie is loving it too. Here's my chat with the Silver Fox. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast, Simon. Before we begin, can you describe to our listeners what you're wearing today? And it looks like a collared shirt.
Oh, it is. I did think I should definitely put on one of my shirts. So it's a Liberty print. It's a 3883 design, which I think I've got maybe about 15 of these shirts.
It's your TNT.
Yeah, definitely. So the only thing is that I do find I've learnt recently to interface both sides of the collar so that then I don't have to iron my collar every time I decide to wear my shirt, because otherwise, yeah, Liberty Torn tends to crunch up a bit, especially on my shirts, because I shove them in the cupboard. So, yeah, I'm learning to double interface my collars and my buttons, and, yeah, that seems to work.
So you're telling me, Lizzie, your wife doesn't iron your
I iron her clothes too. So if there's anything that needs to be ironed in the house, it's generally me.
So you're the ironer.
Yep.
That's your job. Your Instagram name, which I love so much, is Made by Silver Fox. How did that name come about?
Bit of conjecture. There's sort of like, I think it was a group discussion, whether it was my wife or whether it was my sister-in-law or whether it was my daughter, not quite sure. Whether it was me, but yeah, we threw around a few names and that one was free. So we went, oh, that sounds okay.
And they obviously all regard you as a bit of a silver fox.
Yeah.
The salt and pepper.
Yeah, it's gone a lot more salty in the last. I just happen to have that look at the moment. So.
And you even have Made by Silver Fox clothing labels made up as well. Do you still use them? Or is that just a one-off?
That was a one-off, and it was, they were hand-sewn, and then I realised, gee, I was spending so much time like just hand-sewing these little labels. And so I didn't mind doing that for kids' clothes, for some friends. But, for anyone else, I'm very much a lazy sewer. If I don't need to do something now, I've stopped doing it.
Wow. So you've kind of done everything by the book just to get started, and now you're cutting corners.
Yeah.
Doesn't it feel good?
It does. So I often don't put pockets on my shirts, for example.
I did read that.
Yeah, very rarely will I put on pockets, just because I find I don't put anything in them until I then realised, they are useful. So I might go back to putting pockets back on again. So
there is a small percentage of people that really don't care for the pocket that much.
Mm. I do, like, it takes a little bit of extra work, and even with, like, the pocket flap, it certainly does add to the time, but it does also add to the look as well. So. Mm. Yeah, there is definitely, but it depends on the fabric too. If it's a plainer fabric with like a nice top stitch, then that makes sense. But if it's a floral that you won't really see the pocket anyway, then that's where I'll probably leave it out.
Mm. Look at you, you're talking like a pro. And you've only been sewing since 2020, which we'll get into. Have you lived in Melbourne all your life?
No, I originally from Melbourne, then moved to country Victoria, then to Bendigo, then Northern Territory, and then back to Melbourne. So went to Ayers Rock to on the idea that we were going to move to Ayers Rock for about 6 months and then move on to Darwin for 6 months and then go overseas for a couple of years. But we never quite got out of Ayers Rock and we ended up staying there for 4 years. So.
Wow. Because you recently returned there for your 25th wedding anniversary, which is amazing.
We did. We did. We took about 40 people back with us. A lot of those were guests at the time as well. And obviously they brought a bunch of kids with them that weren't there 25 years ago. But, yeah, it was a great opportunity to get back there and have a look around and see how much things had changed.
Mm.
And of course, how much had stayed the same.
Wow. My auntie just texted me yesterday and said, I'm going to Uluru tomorrow. And I'm like, and this is her first time and she's in her 60s. So it almost sounds like the place you should just see once, like if you can, put it on your list.
Definitely, definitely. And I had the bit of, holiday last year where I drove up to Darwin. So I got to see a lot of the countryside then, a lot of the long flat sections and driving on my own, which was pretty cool.
I read about that and I saw the photos. It looked amazing. I'm surprised you did it in COVID. Was that planned?
There was a window that I got out of Victoria just at the point when just as Victoria was still open, got into the territory, and that might have been one day before the territory closed its borders to Victoria. And so yeah, I was very lucky in that regard. So
does that mean there was a lot of people traveling at that time because they were kind of stuck in transit, so they were just kind of moving around?
Yeah, there were a number of vans and things on the border, so people who were not sure as to where they were going, I think they were just, people were unsure at that point in time. So but yeah, it was a very interesting time. So it was certainly from when we were at home, there was a great opportunity to spend time, and that's where I've really honed the sewing skills, because there wasn't much else you could do, and it gave a great mindful activity. When the rest of the world wasn't going through that a really nice time.
So you're saying the jigsaw puzzles and the Netflix wasn't enough for you? You had to take on like this new hobby, which a lot of people did. A lot of people, sewing was a massive thing that people did in 2020, and you were obviously one of them.
Well, luckily I actually got my sewing machine the Christmas before and started a course, once a week at RMIT at nighttime to learn how to sew. And we got about maybe four classes in, and then COVID occurred and everything closed down. So at least I got the basics of that, which was good, because before that I was looking at patterns going, oh, I've got no idea. And so someone just standing there saying, no, turn your hand that way and then do that. And that made it much easier when you've got that face-to-face time.
Okay, so sewing wasn't a COVID kind of influence for you. You had already thought about this, got your sewing machine for Christmas. So what made you want to start sewing then?
I had a pool umbrella. And I went to replace the pool umbrella, and it was a few hundred dollars to replace it. And I just thought, well, surely I could buy some fabric and make an umbrella, and that would be so much easier. And yeah, I just thought that would be an activity that I would learn. So yeah, I think a lot of people buy tools and machines and things, and they go, oh, this will be something that's good. And I do have a pair of knitting needles that are sitting in the cupboard, that are still sitting in the cupboard, and I have that. They've been there since the day I bought them. I haven't gotten them out and done anything with them. And often we do that. We often look at an activity and say, "Oh, I'm interested in it," and I start it, but not enough to actually get going. That's why I sort of think that with COVID, that we did have that time. And so I'd already had the bug. I definitely had the bug before COVID sort of hit into play. But it did give me that time at home and and just that free space to just sit down and learn my craft as I went through. So
well, you could have picked up those knitting needles, Simon, but you didn't.
I could have done. I just don't know that I've got the flexibility in my hands. So
getting back to that RMIT course, you only did it, you said, for 4 weeks, but do you remember, like, what did you learn just from that month or those 4 weeks?
Oh, we started simple, which was we started sewing on pieces of paper, trying to sew straight.
And circular?
And I thought, oh, that's really cool. And when you look at someone who's sewing for the first time, their hands are really close to the needle and they're very, very jittery around what they do. And now it's sort of like, I'm just holding my hands out. I'm just sort of like running it through. And how much easier it makes to sew things when you know what the machine's going to do.
Mm.
It was just a basic learn to sew process. I think there was maybe about 15 people in the class different ranges of different people wanting to learn for different reasons. So some was activity, some was because, you know, clothes didn't fit them, some they didn't have clothes that were made for their genders, and so therefore, you know, they needed to make them themselves. And it was just it was a nice way of learning. So I definitely suggest anyone going off and, you know, if they haven't done a course, at least getting those basics there, because sometimes you can think you know how to do something, and then someone will say, "Oh yeah," they'll just guide you that little bit, and you know, take away a lot of friction in your making process.
Like you said, a lot of people start sewing because clothes don't fit them, but I don't think you would have had that problem. You would have been able to find standard clothes at the store, correct?
Well, that's an interesting one. Guys have as much problem of clothes fitting them as what girls do. You know, there's a lot less ranges of sizes for males. So a lot of shirts will go, "Oh, I'm a 42," or "I'm a 41," and so your size of your shirt is based on the size of your neck, but the size of your neck doesn't mean the length of your, you know, the length of your torso or the width of your shoulders, or maybe it does. And, you know, if you get into more ready-to-wear stuff and you go, well, what's a small, medium, large, you know, extra large? From a male's perspective, I think they're about a 10-kilo range. So, you know, if you're 60 kilo, you're a small. If you're in the 70-kilo range, you're a medium. And if you're in the 80 kilo, you're a large. My weight's fluctuated. You know, I think as everyone's has over COVID, I've taken 20 kilo off and put 10 kilo back on, and you know, your shirts, you have to keep on moving them in and out. You know, I've got a belly and you know, but my shoulders don't change the width of my shoulders, yet my belly does, and so. I've had the discussion with a few people, and definitely males have as much issue of buying ready-to-wear clothing that doesn't quite fit.
Yeah, and they just kind of suffer. Either the arms are too long, the neck is too tight, the stomach is too tight or loose or whatever. I had a friend I used to work with, and he used to work out at the gym a lot, and he used to have all his collared shirts made because his neck was so thick and nothing would fit him.
I can certainly see that. Yeah, as definitely as you get a little bit older and the belly starts to appear, those shirts get a little bit tighter around different areas, and it's great to be able to adjust. And a lot of my clothes I've adjusted over 15 shirts. I don't think many of them are actually the same size. You know, each one of them has been opened out or closed in as weight increased or decreased. So I had a few where I've taken shirts and I've taken them in and just sewn up the inside and then I've had to unpick that as my weight came back on again. So.
And hopefully those little holes, they don't show when you unpick and sew and unpick and sew.
Yeah, just got to be careful with it. And
Some
you know,
materials, yeah, some
yeah.
fabrics don't like the unpicking, and
Correct, correct. Yeah.
I'm sure that Liberty you're wearing, though, can withstand lots of unpicking.
Definitely, definitely. And that's one of the things is florals, you don't see those imperfections within your clothes as well.
So then, what do you like about the art of sewing or the craft of sewing? Is it
Oh,
relaxing?
yeah, definitely relaxing.
Not all the time, I imagine.
Yeah, can be very frustrating when you're trying to work out things like darts and you've never had darts in your clothing before, and you've got no idea as to didn't even realize there were these things called darts that did this on there and there, and because I do sew for both for my wife and my daughter, and so yeah, so learning that aspect of different things. But yeah, no, definitely I do find it relaxing. And if I've got a if I've had a stressful day, then sitting at the machine and either having the Netflix running in the background or whether having music in the background, yeah, it's a nice way to spend an evening.
I find it really inspiring because, like we've talked about, you only started doing this in 2020. I think it was early 2020, so maybe it's 2.5 years now. But sewing was not a part of your life at all, like nothing. You've gone from nothing to now having this massive, massive influence on your life that you probably think about daily or weekly, like you're doing something. It's amazing.
It's funny. I think different activities and different interests spark, we follow different interests at different times of our lives, and you come across many influences, and some of them you follow and some of them you ignore, and you probably don't recognize how many time how many opportunities you've had to learn something new unless you take up the ones when you do say, oh, this is something I want to learn.
And who knows? I mean, you might be doing this for years and years and years, or it might just be a something that something else might take over, like the knitting. The knitting might come into
I do see the knitting, and I sort of look at it and go, wow, like that's just going to take me way too long. So yeah, I look at some people who have who will post a something that they've knitted or crocheted, and you go, hang on, didn't they do something else last week? And you think, how did they manage to do that? I can get a shirt done maybe in a weekend, if no one interrupts me.
Do you shop online or do you shop in retail stores?
I tend to go into stores. So definitely, having in Fitzroy Fabric Store on one side and Drapers on the other, and not too far around the corner is Jimmy Buttons. That's probably got to be a little triangle of it's a love triangle. There you go.
And where's your spotlight? You're not really a spotlight person?
No, I definitely go to Spotty quite a lot. In Essendon is probably the closest one, and up at Essendon Fields.
But they definitely don't have very good buttons. So to have that button store there is amazing.
And he's such a character, yeah,
He's not just the
he's.
legend, there's the actual Jimmy there from Jimmy's
Oh yeah.
Buttons.
Yeah, he's you've made it when Jimmy goes, oh, you know how I run, just go get it, cut it off, bring it back,
Wow.
it's pretty cool.
And I guess that's where you got your Liberty from, the fabric store. Yeah.
Or Tzides is the other one,
Ah, yes. Oh, you are spoiled.
which is in the city. So yeah, I tend if it's if there is Liberty, I'll tend to buy that. I probably most of my shirts would be Liberty.
So when you first started sewing, you made a lot of collared shirts, like a lot.
Yes.
Did you think that was a little bit ambitious at the time? It's not one of those beginner projects that someone normally starts out with, or did you just not have many options to choose from?
I think it was because I really liked some of the feedback from people. So it was pretty cool to be middle-aged guy who someone turns around and says, "You made that? Really?" You know, there was a lot of kudos that came from, you know, I'm a very small minority of people out there. I haven't met many other male sewers out there. And people just seemed to be really nice about and gave a lot of credit for the work that for what I made, and I thought, I don't mind this, I can do it again, and someone else will say, oh hey, this is pretty cool. So I think it was also, again, we were in the office at that point too, so being able to turn up into the office in a new shirt, yeah, was quite nice. I don't think it had quite the same aspect on Zoom when we went all working remotely, and you look at people and you would only see people in hoodies and t-shirts
with nothing underneath.
I hope they did, but hopefully with the with the new recommendations from the government at the moment that came out last week, hopefully more people will be back in the offices on a more regular basis. And I don't mind the idea of dressing up a little bit when you go into work. Yeah, so hopefully I'll make some more shirts as we head back in again. So
does that mean your collars are just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger? Like you said, they seem to be just growing.
I did see some collars the other day on, I can't remember whose they were, but they must have been like about 20 centimetres long. They were just fantastic. Good, nice big collar, stands out. Yeah, it's nice.
I can't wait to see how big they go.
I did look at, I looked at the Elvis exhibition that was up in Bendigo a couple of weeks back or a couple of months back. And I was really surprised by the way his collars were, I don't think they had a collar stand. It was like just this quite large single piece. So I'm very tempted to, I did take a couple of close-up photos of some of Elvis's kit. And so, I'll give a crack out on that, I think.
So like you said, you sew for a few special people in your life, such as your wife Lizzie, your daughter Lily, and I believe you also sew for your sister-in-law Kathy, or now and then perhaps, is that right?
Yep, I have done. Kath's gotten a couple of my pieces. So is her husband too, Thor. So I made him an apron, for a barbecue apron. So, and Kath's got a couple of shirts. I tend to make for people who are appreciative, and so certainly the girls are very appreciative of what I make for them. Lizzie's probably been the one who gets the most, I think, and her ones, she looks pretty stunning in some of the ones that we've done. So
does she have a list of requests, or do you kind of throw the ideas out to her?
No, she'll occasionally come to a fabric store with me. So she'll occasionally come through and say, oh, let's buy this, and have no idea what pattern it's going to be. And so then we sit around sort of like, I say, well, here's the fabric. Okay, we've bought it. It's been sitting in this cupboard for the last 6 months now. We need to go get a pattern for it. Find me a pattern and then we'll make it. So
how adventurous are you then with women's clothing? Will you make anything?
I think so. The last one we made, the fabric was quite heavy, and I'll show my inexperience. I still can't tell what fabric is what fabric.
It takes time, doesn't it? I still don't know what double gauze is. Someone told me it was muslin.
The only gauze I can think of is what they use for plaster.
Like mesh.
Yeah, when they put plaster on or band. Anyway.
See, we're both in the same boat here. We're like, what is this fabric? We'll just call it fabric.
Yeah, well, that's why I have to actually go into a shop and feel the fabric and go, oh yeah, this can work for this. And you know, that's caught me out a couple of times.
The online shopping.
Oh no, we're even just I made some cord, and I went, oh, I can just turn the pattern like this because I don't have much fabric. And then I've gone to put them on, and I've gone, I didn't know that cord was smooth if you rub it this way and not smooth when you rub it that way. So, yeah, I had a pair of unfinished pants for my daughter because I used all the fabric that I had and I had them going the wrong way.
Just tell her it was intentional. So she'll look really cool.
No, they're actually half finished, the pants, just because once I got partway through it and I went, hang on, it's not feeling right. So, yeah, that's the sort of inexperienced sewers can get caught out by. So.
And the stretch. I mean, I made a pair of tights for someone and the stretch went one way and then the stretch went the other on the other leg. And it's not very comfortable. When you can make it really long like spaghetti one way and then it goes across the other way for the other leg. Horrible.
I did get some stretch fabric made. So I got some stretch fabric printed, and that was pretty cool. So I took the photo right behind me. I took a photo of Kathy's photo, of Kathy's painting and my sister-in-law, and then got next day to print that onto a stretch fabric. And then I made some joggers.
Activewear for Lizzie. Yeah. Oh, my God, it looks so amazing.
Yeah,
it looks cool. So professional.
I am so tempted to turn, because I've got a lot of the fabric left over. I keep on thinking that I'm going to make some cycling kit out of it as well.
Oh, so for yourself. So now you're matching activewear people.
Yeah, that would be a sight, wouldn't it?
Oh, gosh. So during lockdown, you started teaching your daughter Lily how to sew. Was that like teaching your kid how to drive a car or a lot less stressful?
No, that lasted for a very short time. I tried. She's happy to receive my clothing that I make, but she's not interested in learning, unfortunately.
What about Lizzie? Did you try and teach her?
No, she's not interested either. She's very happy to receive, just not interested in learning. So,
and what do they think then about this hobby of yours?
I think they're quite happy with it. It keeps me in the other end of the house while they can watch the TV shows that they want. I think it's they recognise that it's got an out, there's an outcome for my activity, and I think they know that I enjoy the making process, and it's just ideally your partner is happy and you let them do what makes them happy. So
you have so much adoration for your wife, Lizzie. I really need to know, why is she so special to you?
25 years. I think it's just we've grown. I think we've just grown up together. I think you can't spend 25 years with someone that you don't like. And I've been very lucky to spend that time with someone that I do.
Now you're making clothes for her.
Yeah, I'm making clothes for her.
I read this thing called FrockOn 2022. How did you end up designing, self-drafting and sewing a women's outfit for this event? And what is the event, FrockOn 2022?
I went into Songlines. Songlines fabric store Songlines fabric in Darwin last year, and I bought some fabric, and I bought it by having Liz on my phone doing a FaceTime and showing her all of the fabric that was in the store and said, pick something because this is pretty cool. So we picked some fabric there and I made that, and that was what we made the dress that she wore back at Ilara, at Uluru, for our 25th. And that weekend, interestingly, I got a message from Songline saying, hey, we've got FrockOn 2022. Are you interested in being one of the makers? And I said, oh, I'll give that a crack. So we sat down, did some designs, and then I tried to make what I had designed, and that was really hard.
Your first time designing something to make?
Yeah. I sort of went, I hate this.
Did it change many, many times, your ideas?
It took many, many times in order to get close to what it was that I was trying to do. I couldn't quite get the sleeve right. It was meant to, like, be a real coming out and, like, straight across from the shoulder, and I just couldn't quite get it. It looked fine on the model, but once someone put it on, it kept on dragging down each time, and I couldn't quite work out how to do it. So, again, just inexperience, not having that fundamental understanding of fabric construction, you know, being someone who's just followed some design, sort of going, oh, yeah, I do this, and I do this. I don't know why I do it, but I do it because it's telling me to do that. And yeah, then we ended up, we used webbing as rather than piping. So I used webbing, and the webbing actually really gave it structure. So whereas piping would have been quite soft, the webbing really held it up. So got it up there a little bit more. Yeah, but it was a bit of fun. I ran out of time, and I was sewing until, like, you know, sewing until the last minute, and then it had to be in Darwin. So we're going, oh, if I use Express Post, I can get it back there in time. And it was just something that I underestimated how long it would take to actually go from a design to something that was actually there. So kudos to anyone who's actually, you know, a proper designer who I've got no idea how they work out. You know, how they grade an outfit for so many different size people. Yeah, that's definitely a skill that is a skill I don't have. I know that. And yeah, kudos to anyone who is able to do that. Because I look at a number of the pieces that came through from other people that put their entries in, and I was just blown away. There were some fantastic ones. So Kunji artists are in Hassbluff in Northern Territory, so not too far from Yalara, about a right angle if you're going up to Alice Springs. And they're over in France at the moment, going around a number of fashion parades, showing off Australian Indigenous artists.
Wow.
That's pretty cool. So,
you also attended Melbourne Frocktails recently. Was that your first Frocktails?
I did, and it was. And I actually heard you interview Shelley of Molly Molly the other day. So Shelley put her ticket up and said, I've got a free ticket and I can't make it to Frocktails.
Oh,
and
wow.
I went, oh, okay. I don't know what this Frocktail thing is.
But do I have to wear a frock?
And do I have to wear a frock? Yeah. And so I thought, and then I think that was on the Tuesday or so, and I went, oh, yeah, I'll take that. That would be fantastic. And by the way, does that mean, oh, of course it does. I need to make a new shirt to wear. So
Because none of those 20 shirts you already have made won't do. You need a new shirt.
Yep. So I then sat down for the rest of the week and smashed out another shirt to wear. Although I didn't have time to put any cuffs on the shirt, so I rolled the sleeves up and put them under my jacket.
Oh my gosh! You're lucky it was cold.
And I won't say that. And I left my shirt tucked in because it wasn't hemmed.
Did you tell anyone?
I did towards the end of the night. So, but yeah, no, Frocktails was pretty cool. I met a few people that I'd spoken to quite a few times on Instagram. So Ree and Dale from Daisy So Crazy from Sydney, and Maria from So Organized Style. So that was pretty cool. Just meeting people who I had commented on their post, and they commented on mine, and so yeah, it's a nice little sewing community. And then met other people like Julia Bobbin, who does stuff in leather, which is pretty,
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
it's pretty cool. So,
You got a lot of inspiration from that day.
yeah, lots of colour at Froptails, definitely. And I think I'll definitely go back again next year.
Do you like to learn new techniques every time you do a project?
Yeah, I posted a thing on the other day on just my story about top stitching, and I got a few people because I just thought, well, it's either a magnet or freehand. Either you put a magnet on the side of the sewing machine, and that sort of guides where the fabric is. And then people were talking about these edge stitch foots, and it had like a nice little line on it so that you run it right down the seam, and so that you don't necessarily have to. It's more of a guiding line rather than a physical controlling line. And so I'm certain definitely still learning those sort of aspects. I also learned that my sewing machine turns left and right, which is also a nice way of lining up the top stitches as well. So I've now worked out that if I want a 5 millimeter edge, then I run my fabric right along the edge of the foot. And if I want a 3 millimeter, I move the needle over to the right and still do the same thing. I'm definitely still learning, as I think most people
You
will
never
do.
stop.
No, there's loads of things, and there's probably some things where I have taken the easy option out. And when they say, like base on a sleeve, I don't think I really understood the benefits of that, because I went, oh yeah, that's okay, I can just do this. But depending on the size of the fabric or the size of the sleeve, that works out really well, because you can get that bunching up, or working in that ease without it being a where the fabric folds over, So yeah, I'm definitely still learning. I must say, I think I still pull out my instructions every time I make something. So I don't rely on memory at all. So even if I've made, 10 of the same shirt, I will still pull out the instructions each time and go, where am I up to? And I might jump ahead. I might not necessarily follow the same steps that are there. I might just say, oh, I'm going to interface all of the pieces all at one time, or actually, I'm going to put the button stand on first, so that I make, even before I might just base down the sleeves, the waist, just so I make sure I've got all the right width. But yeah, I'll still go back onto those instructions and go, oh yeah, have I done them all? Yes, I have. So I love instructions. I love well-written instructions. It certainly helps. It certainly helps new people learning new skills. So
They do say the indie pattern makers make much better instructions than the big four. Do you agree with that?
There's certainly some instructions that I've sat there going, oh, I've got no idea what you're talking about. I read it and reread it, and I've got no idea what the sequence of events. But yeah, I definitely, the ones which have got little instructions or little pictures, I'm a visual person, so having a work instruction that's got a photo of the piece that you're doing would be fantastic. So I actually print out the instructions, and so if I get like a PDF pattern, I'll print out the instructions. I'll get them bound at like Officeworks, and then I'll put it all into like a little plastic Ziploc that's got the instructions and the fabric pieces. And
Oh,
then
wow.
while I'm making it, that's like, or if I stop making something partway through, then I'll put the fabric into that little folder as well.
So
So.
organized. Last year, you were featured in Peppermint Magazine as part of a feature
Oh,
on men who sew. I believe it was Men Around the World, because obviously it's very hard to find these Australian male sewers, home sewers. How did it feel seeing your mug in the magazine?
It's pretty cool to be in the same sentence as George Clooney, I can tell you that. A friend of mine, they saw a post that said, "Does anyone know any male sewists?" And so she put me onto the person who was putting the article together, Lee Yung Soo, and we caught up, and I wrote down. She sent me through some questions. I wrote down some bits. And we had some chats and sent it through. And I was pretty cool to be in a magazine. Yeah, my Instagram this year has been definitely a year of firsts.
Because that point would have been half the life of your sewing, wouldn't it? Because it was 2021, so you're only sewing for a year, and I can imagine you've learnt so much just in that next year. You know, after that magazine article came out,
I think it's because I'm in a small minority of there's not many of us, and so that was cool to be cool to be part of.
But it's so interesting because there's tailors out there, there's people on Great British Sewing Bee, there's males doing amazing design work all around the world, but I guess we just don't see it as much on our Instagram feeds because. I don't know, they're out there, but where are they?
Well, I tend to follow, as soon as a guy comes up on my feed, I tend to sort of go, oh, I'm following them. So that then trying to trick that algorithm in order to get more of them come through. I do go to, Boys Sew Too, like the hashtag. And what I've started doing is instead of waiting for Instagram to send me a list of, to populate my feed, I go to the hashtag and then look at the recents, and then I run my eye down the recents, and then that way you're getting a raw review of what's out there.
And then you find yourself there. It's like there's me the recents, there's me. Where are the rest of them? But there's me.
But I that's a nice way of finding other people, not just finding the people the with
popular,
thousands.
Well, not popular, but the one, the algorithm, what the algorithm's picking. You're seeing, like you said, the recents that you may never have seen if you didn't hit that recents button.
Yeah. So I've liked people who have done their first post on Instagram, for example. And the algorithm's never going to show you them in your feed. So, nice way of doing it.
I've done that too with the Australia Sews hashtag. I wanted to see, people that just wasn't in my feed, people that had just posted recently. And it was amazing what you discover and who you want to follow from that. So, All right, we're ready for the quiz. Are you ready?
All right, yep.
I have a few questions here. You just need to answer them in one word or one sentence if you can. Some of these might be a bit controversial. Do you prefer making clothes for yourself or others? And by others, I mean Lizzie and Lily.
Probably for myself, I think. And I'll take a section longer than a single sentence. I'll make them for myself because I get to wear my shirts, and I can wear a shirt once a week and no one will think anything of it, whereas they tend to have a wider wardrobe that takes a longer time before it rotates around through. So when I make something for me, it will get many more wears out of it than the girls get.
And what's the ratio? Is it like 5 things for you, 1 thing for them, 10 things for you?
I think it's probably about 3 or 4 for me before I make one for someone else.
Last year you made Lizzie a dress with 96 pleats and said on your Instagram, there must be an easier way. Have you now found that easier way?
No.
I've got a way. Why don't you just gather it?
Yes. Yeah. Because gathering's not as exact and... Yes. And I think I've got to do things without patterns in that way. So something not ginghams and, because you always sort of go, I've got to go, 2 in and then 3 out and then 2 in and 3 out.
96.
It was a lot of it. I did see some where people were using forks as well,
Oh, that's smart. Yes,
which I thought, oh yeah,
accuracy.
that's pretty cool. So.
96. Oh, no, I don't think I could do that. While on a massive road trip through Victoria, New South Wales, cut through a little bit, South Australia, Northern Territory, and Queensland last year, you didn't sew for 2 whole months. Did you have withdrawals, or was the scenery too stunning to think about fabric and patterns?
No, the scenery was absolutely phenomenal. So I had driven up to Alice Springs before from Victoria. Did that one a few times, but I'd never gone past Alice Springs up to Darwin, and I'd certainly never done from Cairns across to Darwin before either. Yeah, absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous part of Australia. So very few cars on the road. Nice long flat, was just a just a pleasure.
You and your wife Lizzie appear to have way too much fun in life. Is it true you made some tartan flared pants for a 70s dinner party to look like a Bay City Rollers band member?
True, true.
I didn't even know who the Bay City Rollers were until I googled it, but you did look like.
Oh,
No. I
really?
knew ABBA.
Oh, see, back in the 70s, you were either ABBA or at my primary school at the time, you were either ABBA or you're a Bay City Rollers fan, and never the two shall meet. So.
Did you say this? Every time I think I don't need to read the instructions anymore, I end up reaching for the unpicker.
Which is why I've learned to read instructions and keep on reading instructions each time, definitely. Yes.
Thank you so much, Simon, for coming on the podcast. I love talking to you.
Thank you, Louise. It was definitely a bit of fun.
Thank you for listening to the Australia Sews podcast. To find the show notes to this and all previous episodes, go to australiasewspodcast.com. Now, back to sewing.